I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I won't be speaking this morning, but I've prepared a message for our brother Deacon Benson to read out this morning. Now, as our custom is, I think it is good for all of us to stand up to say he's risen this morning. All right, let's rise. Yes. All right, you ready? He is risen. Once again, he is risen. Louder still, he is risen. Amen. Very good. Please be seated. And this morning, our brother Benson will present the message, Joyful Heart Burn.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this morning's message is titled Joyful Heartburn, and it's taken from the passage that we read earlier today, this morning, which is Luke 24, verses 1 to 30. Now, those of us who have ever suffered heartburn would know that it is a very uncomfortable experience. The heartburn could be caused by a highly acidic stomach, which generates lots of gas, of which gives rise to great discomfort in the chest. Now today, we want to talk about heartburn, but one that is of a very different kind. It's not painful, but very joyful and comforting, one that Jesus gave to two of his disciples on the day of his resurrection. Now this was the third day after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some women folk, comprising especially Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, had gone to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ with the intent of embalming the body with the spices they had prepared. They had great love for their master, from whom they had received tremendous blessings. Mary Magdalene, for example, had seven demons cast out of her by the Lord. Now, these women were there to show their love and there to show their gratitude. Had they faith that the Lord would rise up the third day, as he had often said he would during his earthly ministry, they would have spared themselves the cost and effort of preparing the spices. They came to the tomb, but found that the huge stone that covered the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. Now there at the tomb, they were stunned with great fear. They met two men standing by them in shining garments. And we have this record given to us in Luke 24, verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Verse 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you, when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Then look at verses 11 and 12. And their words seemed to them, now this them, meaning the 11 disciples and all the rest of the followers of the Lord Jesus. So, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Verse 12. Then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. In fact, the Gospel of John tells us that Peter was not alone when he ran to the sepulchre. John was with him. Now, being younger, he outran Peter. But it was impulsive Peter who stooped down and saw the linen clothes laid by themselves without the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we come to these two disciples we want to talk about this morning, as recorded in Luke 24. Verse 18 tells us that one of them was named Cleopas. They were not part of the 12. Like the 11 disciples, to them the words of the women folk concerning the empty tomb were like idle tales, But they also heard of the report of the empty tomb from the witness of Peter and possibly John too. I'd like us to see that their hearts were hearts in which were sadness and hopelessness. They were walking away from the city of Jerusalem and going to the village of Emmaus, which was about 60 furlongs away. Now, 60 furlongs would roughly be equivalent to 12 kilometers, which would probably take them 2 to 3 hours to cover. It had been a sad, sad last 3 days for them. Their leader, Jesus, whom they were expecting to be their Messiah, had been crucified. They had expected him to deliver them from the yoke of the Roman rule. As far as they were concerned, he was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. But the chief priests and their rulers had delivered him to be condemned to death and had crucified him. They said in verse 21, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." How sad and how hopeless their hearts must have been. Now recently, we saw on TV how the North Koreans mourned the death of their beloved leader, President Kim Jong-un. To much of the rest of the world, this leader was a villainous, mad dictator who had the power to release a few atomic bombs. But to the North Koreans, he was their national hero, their national pride, and their beloved leader. At the state funeral, many North Koreans wept and wailed inconsolably in public. Now, although these two disciples walking to Emmaus didn't wail in public, they must have been very, very sad. They loved their leader, and they knew their leader loved them. He was mighty in word and in deed. He performed great miracles, such as feeding the 5,000, raising the dead to life, healing the sick, healing the deaf, the blind, the dumb, and maimed and leprous. But to their utter disappointment, their beloved leader had died. So Matthew 27:42 says, you don't have to turn to this, it's just a short verse. Matthew 27:42 says, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." They had pinned all their hopes on him. They had expected him to establish a great political kingdom like of their historical king, King David. But now the cause was lost. No great political kingdom, no great king. On one hand, they were very sad and feeling very hopeless. But on the other hand, they heard this astonishing report from the women folk and at least two of the Lord's close disciples, Peter and John, that the tomb in which Jesus was laid was empty. Now, as they were walking towards Emmaus, Jesus appeared to them, but was in a form unrecognized by them. They said to the Lord in Luke 24, verse 21, please refer to verse 21. He says, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." They said, today is the third day since these things were done. The third day. Did not the Lord often say that he would be crucified and then rise up the third day while he walked over the 3 years with his disciples? Yes, he did. And today is the third day. But these two disciples, they were too overpowered by sadness and hopelessness over the death of Christ to have any kind of real hope or understanding that Jesus would rise from the dead. But let us ask, why did they have such a sad and hopeless heart? Our Lord, in his conversation with them, gives us the answer in verses 25 and 26. Verse 25, "Then he," and that is Jesus, "said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" The two disciples had such sad and hopeless hearts because they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken in the Old Testament. If they had been quick in believing, for example, what was written in the book of Isaiah, surely they would have understood that Christ ought to suffer death and then enter into his glory. How could they miss this truth if they were quick in heart to believe this prophecy in Isaiah 53? Please turn with me to Isaiah 53 and we'll read verses 7 to 12. Isaiah 53, but please keep your fingers on Luke 24. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And then God says here in verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Verse 12 definitely says that Christ the Messiah must necessarily triumph after he bore the sins of many and after he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Now, if they had searched the scripture and believed what it says, they would surely have understood and believed what the Lord was saying during his three-year ministry when he said that he would be crucified and be raised on the third day. They would then not be sad and hopeless. In fact, they would be filled with hope, knowing that the Lord would surely rise on the third day after his crucifixion. Do we not sometimes feel sad and hopeless? All the situations and happenings in life seem to be working against us. Troubles seem to come one after another. Our health is poor. We don't seem to do well in our work. We're having problems with our children, although we know that we have given our utmost. We know that we have tried to be obedient to the Lord. We feel sad and hopeless. But friends, could our sadness and hopelessness be caused by our being slow to believe what is written in God's Word? Today we do not see the risen Savior physically, but are we quick of heart in believing his written word that our Savior is alive? Are we quick in believing that he has given us his resurrection because he dwells in our heart? So friends, if he lives in us and he has given us his resurrection power, do we not then have the means and power to overcome all the difficulties that we have in life so that we may be able to glorify his holy name? The answer has to be yes. We don't have to be sad or hopeless. Do we not sometimes feel desperate, wretched, and hopeless because we keep failing in our Christian testimony? We do not want to sin, but we keep sinning. We realize that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemies are formidable, and we feel very defeated. But we need not feel this way because we are able to overcome sin by his resurrection power. We may be triumphant in our Christian walk, but we must be quick of heart to believe his word concerning his resurrection power. Now next, Let us be quick of heart to believe Scripture that our Savior is alive and is praying for us. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. But please keep your fingers at Luke 24. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Which says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." Friends, are we quick in believing this truth that he ever liveth to make intercession for us before the one true living God? Yes. Daily he is praying for us so that we may be saved from the power of sin. It's true we have been saved from the penalty of sin, but we need this daily praying for us to be delivered from the power of sin. Are we quick of heart to believe this wonderful scriptural truth? We must be, so that we will know that we don't have to live a defeated life, but one that is victorious. Let's be quick to believe that Scripture teaches concerning the transforming power of his resurrection. Look at the transformed lives of his disciples at Pentecost. Now, before the Lord was arrested and crucified, they were boastful, they were cowardly, they were self-centered. On the night the Lord was arrested, all deserted him. Boastful Peter denied the Lord three times. After he was crucified, they were fearful of the Jews that crucified Jesus. They were sad and they were hopeless. But then look at them 50 days later at Pentecost. By then, they had seen the resurrected Lord. Empowered by his resurrection power, they were fearless in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, were they sad, desperate, wretched, hopeless anymore? No. No longer. Fearlessly and joyously, they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the very enemies of Christ who crucified him. They were a rejoicing people. When they were persecuted, beaten, and tormented, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now friends, let's not be slow, but be quick in believing in the transforming power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as promised in his word. Now as he transformed the disciples, he is able to transform us as well. Now next, let's be quick in believing this truth, that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Look at these two disciples walking to the village of Emmaus. What was their conversation focused on? Surely it must be on the Lord. Now although they were slow in understanding scriptural truth, particularly his resurrection, yet the Lord was kind, the Lord was gracious towards them by appearing in the midst of them and granting them the sweetness of the fellowship of his resurrected self. He supped with them. Look at verse 29 of Luke 24. Verse 29 says, "But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them." Verse 31. "And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Now, having read this account, how can we be so slow in understanding this wonderful promise of the Lord, that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them? Yes, he is in the midst of every congregation, every fellowship, and every family gathered in his name. So friends, are we slow of heart in believing scriptural truth, particularly slow in believing the truth concerning his resurrection? Now what about you, who are still outside the kingdom of God? How slow of heart are you in believing scriptural truths? These two disciples were slow of heart in believing scriptural truths, and the Lord Jesus Christ was very lovingly chided them with these words, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe scriptural truths. He did not condemn them when he called them fools because they were his followers already. But what about you? What about you who are outside the kingdom of God? On this Resurrection Sunday, I have good news for you because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why don't you come to him today and believe that he died for you, was buried for you, and that he rose up for you? But if you reject him, a day will come when it will be too late for you. You are already a fool by rejecting him. You may not recognize that to be the case, but a day will come when you will see clearly that you are an absolute fool indeed. Not the kind he lovingly chides, but the kind that he condemns for all eternity. How can you not be an absolute fool when you had so many opportunities to repent while you were alive on this earth, but you spurned the invitation of the risen Savior to come to him to be saved? And now you're condemned for all eternity in the lake of fire. Now we have talked about a sad and hopeless heart, and the cause of this sadness and hopelessness, which is the slowness of heart in understanding scriptural truth. Next, let us look at the heart with which sadness and hopelessness are driven out. Look at the hearts of the two disciples along the road to Emmaus. Their hearts burn within them. Luke 24, verse 25. Verse 25 reads, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Verse 32, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" The Lord had appeared unrecognized by his disciples. He appeared in his glorified form. How could their hearts not burn within them when the risen Savior appeared to them and walked with them and talked with them? Now friends, we who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ can safely make this claim, the claim that we have met the risen Savior. Where have we met the risen Savior? We met him at the foot of the cross. Be comforted and realize this wonderful truth. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Just as he walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, today he walks with us as he walked along life's road. But do we hear him talking to us? Notice what the disciples say in Luke 24, verse 32. "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Now friends, if we want our hearts to burn within us with joy and comfort, just like those of the two disciples, we must not only have him walking with us, but we must also hear him talking to us. And what did the Lord talk to the disciples about? He talked to them about the scriptures. He opened the scriptures to them. Now today, if we want our hearts to burn within us, we must hear the Lord talking to us in his still small voice. We must let him open the scriptures to us. Let us understand this truth. He does not speak to us through dreams and visions today, but he speaks to us through his word. Let us therefore be careful that we not be drawn away by people who talk about their experiences and the Lord's talking to them through dreams and visions. But let us understand that he talks to us through his word and only through his word. Now what does it mean when disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us? Obviously the sadness and hopelessness were burnt away and replaced by joy and by hope. Now if their hearts burn within them, there must be a strong desire to repent, particularly from the sin of unbelief. There must be a strong desire to hate evil, and there must be a great love for the Lord. There must be a great desire to want to serve the Lord, whom they love. When the Lord opened the scriptures to them to talk about his death and his resurrection, they must have said, why didn't we see this before? Why didn't we see that before? Amen to this, amen to that. Yes, that's how we will see scriptural truths when the Lord opens his word to us. Well, friends, is your heart burning within you today? Remember, you must meet him first. You must experience his walking with you, and you must experience his speaking to you out of his word of life. Only then you will experience that those two disciples of old did when they said, did not our heart burn within us? Now finally, I'd like us to see that blessed with the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, their hearts became not only burning hearts, but seeing hearts as well. I refer you to verse 29 of Luke 24, verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now how could they see Jesus and recognize him if their hearts were filled with unbelief? Their hearts saw only sadness and hopelessness. It is when they had perfect fellowship with him that they could see him. It was at that fellowship table where Jesus broke bread and blessed and gave it to them, where no sin separated him from them, that their eyes were open and they knew him. It is true. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now friends, where do we see him today? We see him in his word. Now as we read through the sacred pages of his word, we see more and more of him. But to see him clearly, we must be pure, cleansed by his precious blood. If sin comes in between us and him, we will stay away from his word. And if we stay away from his word, how can we see him? And even if we don't stay away from his word, when we read it, it will be dry and lifeless. How can we see Christ in his word if his word is dry and lifeless to us? Not when their hearts burned within them, and when their spiritual eyes were opened and saw Christ, something had to happen. They could not contain the joy and the good news within them. Now look at verse 33. Verse 33 of Luke 24. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Do our hearts burn within us as we are reminded of the resurrection of the Lord? If we say that we have met, that we have walked and talked with, and seeing the risen Savior, then something has to happen to us. Our hearts should burn within us so much that we must rise up this very hour to tell others about the risen Savior. A little lad was gazing intently at the picture in the art store window, and the store was displaying a notable picture of the crucifixion. A gentleman approached, stopped, and looked. The boy, seeing his interest, said, that's Jesus. The lad continued, "Those Roman soldiers, they killed him." "Where did you learn that?" asked the gentleman. "In the mission Sunday school," replied the boy. Now this man turned and walked away. He had not walked too far when the little boy came running towards him and caught up with him and said this, "Sir, I wanted to tell, he rose again. He is alive." Friends, do we have this burning desire to tell others of our risen Lord like this little lad? Our hearts need not be sad or hopeless because we have a risen Savior. By His resurrection power, we will be able to meet every challenge in life on this earth. By His resurrection power, we will be able to meet the challenge of death. We need not fear death, because just as He rose from the dead, one day the dead in Christ will also rise up from the dead. Now today we might feel sad and hopeless. Often it's because we are slow in heart in believing scriptures. But let us pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit to quicken our hearts to believe that what the Holy Scripture says. Our hearts will burn with the joy of the Lord and the hope in the Lord if we have really met this risen Savior and are walking with Him and hearing Him talk to us out of His word of life. Let us pray that our hearts be pure so that we can have close fellowship with Him and be able to see Him in His word. If our hearts have been purified by Him, one day we will surely see the resurrected Savior. We will see Him face to face. But right now, have our eyes been opened to see Him? If our hearts burn within us and our eyes do see Him, friends, like these two disciples, we will surely have the burning desire to tell others about the risen Savior. And that exactly was what the two disciples did. They rose up that very hour and reported their experience with the resurrected Lord to the others in the city of Jerusalem. May the Lord grant us this burning desire. Amen.